shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I am Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Nordgren. With us this week is super amazing, famous, very famous actress.
Grand famous.
A grand dame of the theatre. She is a performer and a producer of all kinds of amazing things. Please welcome Morgan Brayton.
Thank you for having me.
You had to swallow that kombucha really quickly.
Yeah, I'm drinking kombucha.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're having a very Vancouver day.
Really rare for me.
Yeah.
But this this one is not horrible.
Yeah, no, this is the intro kombucha, blueberry maple.
It's the gateway.
The gateway booch.
Nice.
Yeah, we're not going to give you the real challenge.
It's just like a teeny bit sour, but it won't actually make you like ingest any kind of weird gross films.
Yeah, well, we got
goos. Live beings.
We got Gavin Clarkson to drink it even after I described it as like rotting mushroom juice, and he was like, "Cool, let's try." He's like, "That's way less gross than you made it out to be."
See? Some people that would be like, "Oh, rotting mushroom juice, bring it on." I'm not one of those people.
The hell on.
Yeah. No.
I want to create a new biome in my guts.
You know, apparently it's good for allergies and stuff.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll fucking see.
Yeah, I don't know. So are antihistamines.
Yes.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. A lot less disgusting.
Sticking with that. Yeah. Oh, so, how have you been, Chris? I haven't seen you in forever.
Yeah, it's been a minute and a half. I went to Victoria and had my luxurious weekend in a hotel to myself for my friend's wedding.
Nice.
It was delightful. I definitely got to, like, have a bath, which is a rarity.
Was it a schmancy hotel,
or were you just excited to
be in a hotel?
Yeah. You sent me a picture of it, and there was, like, 8 pillows on the bed.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's
an 8-pillow hotel.
Since I'm not there anymore, no one can follow me. It was the Laurel Point Inn, which is super schmancy. Yes,
and super wedding-y.
Yes.
Lots of weddings.
Yeah. And you get to take the helijet over.
I did, because I had some work to do as well. So I was able to do a work trip at the beginning, and then I took the ferry home, like a sensible, not spending your tax dollars kind of thing.
Living large.
She works for the government.
Yeah.
But, I gathered.
But so that was really lovely, and I got to be introduced in the legislature by 2 separate MLAs, which is very cool.
Nice. And you're the star of Question Period.
I'm such a fucking nerd for Question Period, Morgan.
Really? It just stresses me out.
She loves questions.
It makes me really anxious because they're all so mean, and I just think, just stop behaving so poorly and just knock it off, guys.
Meaner when you're in person because you can actually hear all the heckles and you see them, like, making hand gestures at each other and stuff.
This one?
Well, not that one. You're not allowed to do that. They're very strict. Like, we actually waved from the gallery and the usher, like, shushed us. Like,
wow.
I kind of, when I am 80, I want to be an usher at the House of Commons or something, because, like,
are they all old people? Or
super old, super crotchety, very decorum.
Perfect choice.
Heavy. Yeah, which I think I totally will be like that when I'm 80.
Are they the primary employer of over 80s in Victoria, which is 95% of the population?
Say, if you're employed in Victoria. No. I'm actually from Victoria.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you get to wear gloves, the ushers?
Oh, I didn't notice.
You would notice if they were wearing gloves.
They're old bone crone hands. Yeah. You couldn't tell if they were gloves or not.
But they just shushed us a lot because they were giggling.
Yeah. I was a flower girl at the Parliament Buildings. This is as close as I got to Question Period. every year for Queen Victoria's birthday, I guess maybe it was, they would have this sort of procession of little girls in dresses with flower baskets, and you would walk around the fountain out front of the Parliament Buildings, and it was a big honor to be chosen to represent your school. Yeah, nice. It was a big deal. Yeah.
It sounds so very delicate and feminine.
Yeah. Like me. Like, just like you. Yeah. Just
exactly like you.
Victoria itself, I just associate with just flowers in general. Mm. Like, it was so springy over there. They actually had cherry blossoms happening. It was warm and sunny, not like here, which was still like a freezing rain, thunder and lightning, garbage fire, apparently, according to someone that I texted. I was like, "Oh, it's so nice and sunny there." Like, it's literally thundering and lightning, snow right now. So fuck you.
Yeah. It's a little nicer.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
But yeah, you know, I had my nice hotel time. My friend got married and it was lovely.
Nice.
We stood shivering in the cold at 10 a.m. in a garden. And then the sun came out for pictures, which was lovely.
Ooh.
And yeah, had a very nice party. So
I'm so glad.
After that, I just, like, came home and I've had the most, like, boring, mundane week ever.
Just back to the routine.
Back to the routine. And, like, needing the vacation from the vacation, which is a cliche, but, like...
It's true.
You know, we whooped it up most evenings and stayed out late and slept in, and so I had to, like, reorient myself back into daily life.
Right. Recalibrate. You were like, where's the buffet? Oh, right, yeah, it's my house. Yeah. Darn it.
I have to feed myself and bathe myself. It's such garbage.
I hate having to take care of myself.
It's dumb.
I went to my second therapy appointment as well, and I realized that I pretty much don't like my therapist, so I want to switch around.
Definitely.
And it's for the second time. The first time I went, I made her cry. Wow. And I kind of had to, like, take care of her a little bit. And then the second time, I was talking about some, like, health stuff, and so I was like, oh, you know... this health thing, that health thing. She's like, you are seeing a doctor, aren't you? And you know that you should get some exercise and maybe watch your diet. And I was like, excuse me, this is narrative therapy. We're supposed to be co-creating a journey together. And I really dislike this.
Oh, yeah. No, that doesn't
sound good. I was not into it.
And she said, oh, you know what you should really do is you should get massages. And I'm like, I'm at the sliding scale therapy place. I cannot afford a massage on the regular.
Oh, man.
So I was like, who are you, grad student? I was not super into it. So,
Jesus, I could do a better job. And that was far too intimate.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You basically therapize me on the regular on this podcast.
There you go.
So.
That's true. That's why I think it's been so successful for a whole year.
Yes. Well, successful. It's still here.
Well,
it hasn't died.
You're still doing it after a year.
Yeah.
That's pretty successful.
In my life, anything I'm still doing after a year, I consider a success.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah. I think so. This is our weird baby that only we love. No, I'm just kidding. A few people like it. That's good.
Yes, yes. I was at a work fundraiser and some people came up to me and they were just like, hey, Chris, we like your podcast. So hi, Aaron and Natalie.
Like, oh no.
I met you at a work thing. It's spreading. This is not good.
Nice.
Please, now if you're listening to this, you know that this is just in your earbuds for your earbuds only. Don't tell our bosses what we talk about.
Don't tell the government to listen in on us more than they already are. Yeah, basically.
How was your week, Katie?
You know how my week was, Chris. It was hard. It stunk.
Oh.
It was fine. Our snake got taken away. We're really sad
about
the snake.
We need to talk about this.
Yeah. I'm so heartbroken over this, and I'm not even a snake person.
Yeah, you never even met her.
But you talked about being emotionally invested in a kombucha SCOBY, Morgan, so I imagine this is that exactly, you're yeah, emotionally no. invested mm-hmm. in the snake that you never
you
met.
I feel like you really understand me. We just met, but yes, that's about, yeah.
Chris is a real namaste kind of gal. Yeah. She'll see your soul really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just like a walking, bleeding heart. So,
well,
yeah.
You fit in very well in this little room here.
Tell us about the snake saga.
The snake saga, which sounds so good on a podcast, the sibilance. So my wife and I went to buy a new enclosure for our snake because she was not getting enough humidity in the situation she had, and she needs a lot of humidity so she can shed her skin.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going into a new shed, so we're like, we're going to set up a nice terrarium for her. So we went out and bought a 37-gallon aquarium, and we're taking it up in the elevator. And this guy that lives on our floor, Barry, if you're listening, which you're not, fucking Barry.
Fucking Barry.
Fucking Barry in 1604.
Oh, no, you're just calling him straight out.
Oh, I'm calling him straight out. Never going to damage him.
People are going to put spiders under that door.
I want people to put spiders under his door, but only, you know, native species that are non-venomous.
Whoa.
All these other bylaw lords I'm learning. So we're taking the thing up in the elevator from PetSmart, and, Barry's on the elevator with us, and he's like, oh, you guys got some fish? We're like, no, we actually don't. We should have said yes, fish, but it was like, no, we don't have fish. We're turning it into a terrarium. He's like, oh, what kind of pet do you have? We're like, oh, she's a ball python, so she's a snake. And he starts asking us these questions, like, oh, that's interesting. You got a pet snake. How big is she? We're like, oh, we don't know. She's fully grown. She's not going to get any bigger. She's about 3.5, maybe 4 feet. She's beautiful. We love her so much.
Dairy.
Like, she's really a great pet because we can't have dogs and cats because we're both allergic to dogs and cats. She's like, oh, well, you know what? Great. Have a great day.
It's the only source of joy in our life, you said to Barry. And he turned around.
It's not quite what I said to Barry.
That's what I'm intimating. I can't have any other pets because I'm allergic.
I think you laid it out pretty clearly.
The only source of joy in my life.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, like, she brings us a ton of joy. We really love her. You know, it's a weird pet, but she works so well for us, and she's so, like, she gives us her own brand of love, and we love it.
Oh,
he's like, oh, enjoy your snake, you know, like, just real
polite. Enjoy your snake.
And inside of 3 days later, I get a letter from the Strata Corporation who are like, we have reports that you have a very large snake in your unit. And we want to inform you that this is in contravention of New Westminster's pet bylaws, section blah, line
fuck. I thought New West was a cool town. You have a cool mayor and, like...
Yeah, Jonathan Coat.
Social
like,
justice
help me out
bullshit,
here.
But you need to get some snake bylaws changed.
I need to get some snake bylaws changed. So they gave us 14 days to get her out, and the people who rescued her originally and rehomed her with us were willing to take her back, so... So they're going to pay us for the tank and everything, which is really great because that means I've got some money coming back to me, which is nice. Right. I could use it. But yeah, it was really tearful. It was really, really hard. My wife and I cried a lot.
I cried when I read your post about it. It's so heartbreaking.
It was so sad. We were just really like, and we keep looking at the space where her tank used to be. It's just like, it's like a void, you know, like it was so cool because it was a beautiful little setup. It was just such a green and lush little terrarium. And she would just like curl up in the corner on top of her hide and just like smoosh down, like not hurting anybody.
Yeah,
like she's not even that active. Like she just kind of like to come out and like lie on our warm bodies and watch TV with us. Like she would periscope up like this. Nobody can see it who's listening, but she just kind of like poke her little head up and just watch whatever was going on. She's super sweet. So we can still visit her, but we can't keep her anymore, which sucks. So eat a dick, Barry. Eat 100 dicks, and if you're afraid of snakes, you're a wuss, and I'm going to throw rubber snakes at you forever.
It just is, it's, to me, it's so unnecessary, right?
He never even saw the snake.
Yeah.
He never would have seen the snake.
And he had to also have gone home and Googled the bylaws, right? Like, or maybe he already knew that's what he was asking specifics.
It's probably one of his, like, peccadilloes, you know what I mean? Like, he just knows this because he hates snakes.
Right.
It's like, I moved to New West specifically so that no snakes would ever be around me.
Right.
Sure.
Or something.
And you know what? I'm all about bylaws that make sense, and with all due respect, not a huge fan of keeping exotic pets and all kinds of things like that. But also, I happen to know, because I also do work in cat rescue, that like there are all kinds of egregious violations happening that the city is doing bugger all about. And so the fact that, you know, this situation, rather than like shutting down a breeder that is horrible, the fact that your lovely little lesbian snake has been taken
little
from you
lesbian snake
is upsetting to me.
And the funny part of that is like, yeah, and I totally agree, like the exotic pet industry sucks. This was she was a rescue.
Yes.
You know, like she really was. Yeah. And our wonderful friend Jen rescued her from somebody who had very good intentions but just did not have the capacity to take care of the snake.
Which
and it was not in good health.
Happens with things like that.
And so Jen really nursed her back to like 95% health and we took her the rest of the way. And she was like, yeah, the last day that we had her, she's just so glossy and healthy looking. Like she'd grown way bigger, not lengthwise, but she'd gotten chubby, like, because she kept eating, which is great. And so, yeah, it was just a real bummer. Sad, but I feel cleansed of it now, kind of. Like, I'm still sad about it. I'm still mad about it. Because, like, you really do have to think, like, these people are just talking about how happy this makes them. How do I snatch that away?
Yeah.
Kind of like, how do I let those, you know, arrogant fucks know that their happiness doesn't mean anything
and
or something?
And how can he, like, because you're going to run into Barry in the elevator again.
Oh.
And if I were Barry, I wouldn't be able to look you in the eye.
Well, yeah.
Are you going to say something to him next time you see him?
Yeah, well, I'm interested to know what he has to say to me.
Okay.
So I'm just going to not say anything, probably. He's like, I'd love for him to be like, so how's the snake? I'd be, you fucking know
how
the
snake
is, Barry.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly, right? Like, or I'm just going to look at him and not say anything and just kind of like stare at him the whole time and see what happens.
I think you should like stare at him the whole time, but then when you get off the elevator on your mutual shared floor, just be like, thanks a lot, Barry.
Thanks a lot, Barry.
And, like, you really have to pronounce the B to, like, really get the disdain. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Barry.
Give him and his full name and place of work, which I know because I was able to look him up on LinkedIn.
I would just
it's
go
like,
knock
dude,
on his
I know
door.
Your address. Like, I can Google you.
Yeah. I would go knock on his door and talk to him. Like, he didn't have the balls to say to you, like, oh, you know what? You can't really have that. Or like, he didn't.
Yeah.
He went behind your back and was all
shitty
jerky
about it.
Yeah,
about
so
it.
I think you should go just, straight full, like.
Just go knock on his door and be like,
what's
hey,
up,
just want to check in with you on this because.
We got a problem
up?
Here?
Yeah.
We got a problem here, Barry. Barry is a dickhead name, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the name of a dickhead. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
That's garbage. I'm sorry.
But, you know, in order to distract myself from being sad, I was like, I gotta just get out and not be in the house and wallow. Because Tessa's a wallower when she's depressed. Mm. And I being around that was making me feel really like I wanted to do the same. And I knew that wasn't going to be good for me. She recovers faster if she does that. Whereas okay. I stay sad if I do that. So right. I need to, like, cry for a couple days and then go out again. So I went and did, like, two open mics back to back. So I did that. And that felt really good.
You're kicking your own comedy ass again.
Kicking my own ass again. Again, thanks, Graham, for telling me I needed to. So I'm kind of getting back into things and trying to take care of myself, as we talked about. So keep at the gym and all that kind of stuff. So trying to be a good girl. This sucks.
You
it's
are
boring.
Good. I'm petting you and telling you you are good.
This is why we brought you on the podcast, Morgan. Yeah. We just need
we
some
like
reassurance.
Big soft hearts. Stay. That's a Sunday. That's a good time. Got my not feeling it chicken shirt on. Courtesy of you made it weird. Good times. Man. Morgan, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, boy. My family, the other members of my family, the human members, have gone away to visit Grandma for spring break for a couple of days in the States, or Ooh. For a week in the States. A couple of days ago they left. So I've had a very quiet house.
House to self with kitty cats?
With kitty cats.
And you and six my souls.
Dog. Yep, Bunbury the dog and five cats and me. I haven't really had a chance to enjoy it fully yet, though, because I'm in the process of filing my taxes.
Oh, God.
So I was like, yahoo, I'm getting footloose and fancy doing taxes. It's not really the party I had
planned
in my mind.
I'm
going
to do my taxes in my underpants just to like.
Oh, definitely. Sure. Yes. But it's eerie quiet and I love it.
Yeah.
That's been kind of nice. Doing that
because you normally have a very bustling household, it sounds
we have a 14 year old ADHD you know angry son
aka a teenage boy
exactly. So it's just and there's just always somebody else there, and I grew up an only child. Uh-huh. And I don't like other people that much. No, that's not true. I grew up always spending a lot of time alone, and I realized a number of years ago that I don't have a lot of that in my life. And when I don't get enough alone time, I get weird. And so, and I just kind of keep going because that's life. But then every once in a while, I'm like, oh, wait, I know what it is. I need to go sit by the ocean and not talk to anybody
I'm
for a few hours.
I'm getting squirrely.
Yeah. Well, so it's kind of nice, really.
We're only children.
Both only children.
Oh, really?
Well. Yeah.
Yay!
I have half brothers, but we didn't grow up together, okay. So I'm used to solitude and I like it.
Yeah.
It was a big turning point. I was talking to somebody about this recently where I'm like, I just, you know, I realize that I'm an extrovert, and people are like, are you fucking kidding? Like, of course you're an extrovert. Right. I'm like, but I need all this alone time. And they're like, you're an only child extrovert.
Yeah.
So you can still be social and you can still get charged up from other people, but you need that alone time.
Definitely.
Just to recalibrate a little bit.
Yeah. Of course you're glad you understand.
Yeah, you're definitely an extrovert.
But yeah, no, I'm so glad you understand that. Mm-hmm. I don't meet that many only children. So this room is really exciting. Mm-hmm. When we were looking for starting our adoption process, for children, we were switching gears from pets, of which we have also adopted many. But my wife said, well, we have to adopt like siblings because if they're an only child, they'll be screwed up. I was like, excuse me? fair enough, but also pardon me. And only children are the best. There's like an independence.
Yeah.
And usually like a kind of a confidence that may or may not be justified that I appreciate about only children.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of the, like, going to grown-up events and, like, trying to hold your own with the grown-ups kind of thing?
Oh, always. Like... My parents always tell the story of, I don't know how old I would have been, but... like 5 or 6 or something at a restaurant, and there was like a 3-year-old that was running around, you know, up and down the aisles or whatever, and apparently I turned and just watched this child in horror and then turned to my parents and said, that child is very badly behaved. And that's kind of me as a kid in a nutshell, right? Like, I talked students out of walking out in high school. Like, that was, There's rules for a reason, people. So, yeah. No, I,
Now is not the time to be exercising your political agency. We have to go to homeroom.
Well, in that case, I was like, I really feel that you don't really understand the issues, and you're not actually trying to make a point. You just want to go smoke by the creek. So I think that a far better approach, I, like, called an assembly, and I got up in front of the school, and, like, did this rousing speech. Yeah, no, this is really all you need to know about
Poindexter me. Poindexter speech.
Right? But yeah, so I definitely relate to that. I mean, I don't ever remember feeling, like, oh, I'm a child and around, I was like, oh, I'm a person with, and plus my parents treated me like that. Right. And I would take part in conversations and stuff. When my son, we go out to dinner and he's like, well, can I bring my iPad? And I'm like, no, you can talk to us. And it's mind boggling to me that he doesn't get that. I'm like, that's what you do. Right? And we adopted him when he was 8. And so, you know, he has not had many years of being treated like an adult by adults. Mm-hmm. And not that we treat him like an adult, but, you know, I'm like, yeah, you take part in conversations when you go places with adults. That's a normal thing to do. But he still thinks it's weird that he should just have toys and we shouldn't talk to him. He's very badly behaved.
Yeah, no, that sounds a lot like my upbringing, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, just the whole, like, you're coming with us to everything, so hold your own, basically. Yeah, pretty much. So I was always, like, the least popular kid hanging out in the basement at my parents' friends' parties.
Right.
So they're like, we're going to play Doom. I was like, I wish we would talk about things. Like, I'd like to have a conversation with the economy or something. I was never that nerdy, but I kind of wanted to just hear adults gossip about other adults. That was kind of fun for me. It's like, oh, Karen's a bitch? Tell me more.
Did you ever go to dinners or parties or whatever where they had a children's table?
Oh, yeah.
That was so weird. I remember one time going to that and I was like, what do you mean I have to sit at a different table? Yeah. I was so sullen and angry sitting at this kid's table. It was so strange to me. My parents didn't care for it either, but it was their friend's house. They didn't make the decisions. But I think that's weird.
Yeah, I agree with you. We had small family and like small family dinner, so just everyone was at the same table and you just had to learn how to hold your own, basically. Yeah. And to be segregated away. How would it, like... Oh, man, just so, like, what is the word that I'm looking for? Oh, my
Othered.
God. Yeah, I guess so.
Although I will say,
disrespectful, I guess, is what I was looking
for. As a parent,
yeah.
I would like children to be in another building, not just at another table.
Just put them on a bus across town.
Send them to Australia.
Yeah. I was at a friend's kid's two-year birthday party yesterday. And it was very cute, very loud, lots and lots of kids.
Is that Jack's sister?
No, our friend Jesse from Portland came up. And his little boy was turning 2, and they had a pinata, so it was fun to watch all the little kids, like, whack a donkey with a stick.
Are we talking, like, real classic pinata, like the multicolored donkey?
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, definitely.
That's that is the classic.
Classic pinata.
Not Dora the Explorer or Elsa.
No.
It always seems so weird to me, like, that whole concept. I mean, I could see if it was a villain and you got to smash it and get candy for smashing it or something. But I guess that would be reinforcing. I don't know. What is it? What is that message, though? Like, you can hit animals.
Yeah, I don't
like
the
colorful.
Small I don't like any of
Mexican
that.
Children.
That's
I don't.
At the wedding of the same friend. They have a lot of piñatas. She's from Mexico.
Right.
Like, from Arizona. And so they had the zebra piñata for their wedding. And this one little girl was like... just so timidly going up to the pinata.
Yes.
And all the adults were like, get it! And she was just like...
No, that would be me. I would totally cry. I'd be like, I can't.
And turned out
right.
Zebra is her favorite animal. And she didn't want to hurt it. And it was like, I just felt bad for this kid with like everyone like yelling at her to like...
It could just be stars or something. Like you could just like make a big circle. I don't know.
Yeah,
so
no,
not,
see
like,
that I can see. Yeah.
Abstract
or
shapes.
Or else... my friend Spencer Chandra Herbert just posted a picture that one of his constituents made him a piñata of Spencer.
Oh.
He has to cure himself.
It's really funny.
Your own self in effigy.
Yeah. I feel like there's like a rebirth or something maybe
some
that you could spin
deep
that.
Meaning.
But
you
could also possibly hire artists to make piñatas of your enemies.
Mm-hmm. There's many Donald Trump piñatas in Mexico.
That makes sense.
Like, we will not pay for your fucking wall.
That's right.
That wasn't meant to sound racist. It was just Vicente Fox keep saying that. And it's spelled F-U-C-K-E-N when he tweets it. I won't pay for your fucking wall. He's not even the president of Mexico anymore. He's just a sassy old man with a Twitter. And apparently that means you're the leader of the free world, basically.
That's how it's working now with Twitter.
God.
Oh, I need to quit Twitter so bad. I really do.
I keep forgetting I have Twitter. And then every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I should tweet something.
Chris had the best.
I cleaned it up. My, like, Twitter feed now is, like, mostly, like, little robots that say, like, don't remember to drink a glass of water. And, like, just my friends, and that's about it. And, like, a couple of funny folks.
Yeah.
So.
And then you have a separate Twitter that's, like, for business and all of the political stuff that you don't necessarily want to watch.
Yeah, so then I can check it every once in a while, but it's, like, I went away for that week and, like, barely looked at the internet at all, and I missed so many hot takes.
Right.
And so many, like, amazing stories that, like, I could have watched unfold in real time. Instead, I just got, like, a nice succinct recap at the end of the week, and nice. I'm like, this is a better way to live.
Like, what did I miss? Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Back to living.
Yeah. Crazy idea.
No, speaking of, like, animal abuse, that's not a nice thing.
Oh,
somebody made Canuck the Crow. They, like, someone hit him in the head.
He's so upset.
Our favorite neighborhood crow mascot.
He's so close by. We should, like, and send healing vibes.
Apparently he's okay. Yeah. Apparently he's been doing well.
Sean got him. And
But I saw, like, a note from, like, the sports organization that was having tournament that someone, like, hit Canuck the Crow with, like, a flag or something in the head. And it was at some tournament. And the tournament people were like, we will not rest until we find out who's responsible. Like, we're gonna be like blah blah blah. Like, it wasn't anyone participating in our thing. It was just a bystander, and we're gonna find him because we love Canuck the Crow.
I have such a feeling of vengeance about this that I just like. I've been watching so much Blacklist that I just like think about creative vengeance. So I'm like, oh, I just want to call up Raymond Reddington and have him like find this guy, and we're gonna take him to that football field. We're gonna hold him. We're just gonna hit him once in the head really hard with a flagpole. Well, just give him a good concussion. You earned it.
Yeah.
Have fun. Yeah, you deserve this.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
He is the most hated person in Canada right now. And it's
all over. Yeah.
No, but people from all over, like the Netherlands and stuff, because there's all kinds of people that have been following after he stole that knife from a crime scene.
He's such a good
people
crow.
Have been following Canuck.
I love him so much.
I so worry about people who are cruel to animals. Like, there's something inside you that is hurt so badly that would cross your mind to do. And this was apparently, like, you know, just obviously unprovoked, although Canuck can be pretty sassy. But
he's a sassy
apparently
boy.
Didn't see it coming, just came up behind him and clocked him with the flagpole. So,
gosh.
You know, like, what? I don't even get that.
What possessed you to do that? Yeah.
I do not know. But those people worry me. I'm like, there's something really broken inside of you that seems like a good
even
idea.
Even in the moment of something, because, like, Here's something that people don't need to know about me, but sometimes if I'm not wearing a bra and I'm playing with my rats, they'll bite me right on the nipple.
Oh!
I don't mean I'm topless. They just somehow, like, if I'm not paying attention, they're like, that's hanging out. Rah! And they just, like, chomp. And I manage to pick them up and very gently, like, not throw, but kind of, like, toss them onto a pillow that's right by.
Yes.
But I don't hurt them. Yes. As much as I'm like, ah, squeeze! No, right. I don't. I just, like, scoop and a gentle toss, you know, and they're like, whoa, okay, maybe I'll stop biting your tit then. Until next time, yeah. They have a tendency to bite my tit, so. Oh,
the thing about rats
I hate that
and
story
nipples.
So much.
She's so upset she hates rats.
I don't hate them, but I'm just not a big fan, and that is horrifying.
It's only happened, like, 4 times.
You're not... You should have just stopped. She didn't need to know that it's happened 4 times. That did not make it sound better.
Well, I haven't...
If you'd be like, it only happened once. It hasn't happened again. That might be the kind of thing that you bring up.
It's only happened, like, 4 times.
No, that's hilarious. Kittens will do the same thing.
Yeah.
Just, FYI, or so I've heard.
Bite your tit.
Okay. Yeah. It's way cuter when they do it. Can we agree?
Probably. Yeah, it's always a startling
thing. Having a rat hanging from your nip is a different story.
Hang on. It's not quite that bad.
I'm just imagining you just like whirling around.
No, like their nipple tassel.
Yes, exactly.
Da, 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 da,
I think you have a new burlesque career.
Oh, God. Garbage just burlesque.
Yes, with rat pasties.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I'm the trash queen. I love it.
So good.
I love that. That's actually a great idea and the worst idea. But I mean, you actually had me thinking in that direction because I was thinking about how much I love Canuck. And I do. He's the most beautiful. I love crows. Mm-hmm. I love pigeons. I love rats. I love raccoons. Like, I like urban fauna a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really exciting to like common animals because you get to see them all the time.
Yeah.
And that's so awesome. It's not like, oh, my favorite animal is a sloth. I have to, like, fly to Costa Rica and then drive 6 hours to the sloth sanctuary.
You just see them anywhere.
You're just finding ways to give yourself a little bit of joy everywhere you go.
Just give myself a treat every day.
Oh, look, 17 pigeons. That's so nice. Oh, 17 types of
you know, happiness. I saw, when I was walking down the drive the other day at North Grandview in the drive, there's like, there's always a million pigeons, but they were sitting in like a perfectly organized line on one, just one street light. And I was just like, oh, look at them. They're just so organized. Like, they're just having a pigeon meeting. And I was delighted. I was like, great. I get to have little bits of joy every single day.
That's Instagram worthy.
Yeah, and there's a, but my camera phone sucks, so I never would have gotten it. But there's a family of raccoons that lives up at SFU on the mountain, and they're always just, like, ambling around. And
right.
It's going in the trash can, and no one wants them exterminated. Like, they just, like, leave them. They're our mascots, basically.
And that is really, you know, other than, like, Canuck was found as a little baby and was cared for and then released. But that's what we should do with wild animals, is leave them be.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want them as pets necessarily, but it's fun to talk to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to imagine that they could talk to you.
Sometimes I think they're looking
time,
back at
you
me.
You spend as
like,
much time as I do thinking about being able to talk to animals.
Tell me.
I could talk to the animals.
One of my most recurring fantasies is that
Sue Perkins comes to my house and makes me a cake. Okay.
I wasn't where I was going with it, no. That I could not only communicate with animals, but that I could heal them myself. Because we saw, as you do, you know, you often see injured animals on the side of the road or whatever, but we were driving to the States one time, and there was a deer that had been hit, and it was in the middle of the road, and it was trying to get up, and it was obviously, and it was horrifying, and it was kind of, like, screaming, and I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, and it's one of those things that's just haunted me, and so I recreate that in my head all the time, where I tell my wife to pull over, and I get out of the car, and I walk over, and I just lay my hands on the deer, and it, like, looks up at me and blinks, and it just knows it's safe, and then I just communicate with it for a minute, just be like, it's okay, I got this, just hold still for a minute. And then we just kind of have this moment, and then I go, okay. And it gets up and runs away, and it's fine.
And the animal Jesus.
Yes, no, animal Lazarus, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Just, I can imagine you just like beatifically like drifting over on the highway, just like.
You have to wear a lot of gauzy outfits, I think, so that they like billow around you as the wind.
See, but that's what you would expect, and then people would be like, well, what's this weirdo doing? Tackle her! And then I wouldn't be able to save any animals. Oh, okay. So I think I just need to be me, because just people would be like, oh, she's a walking, bleeding heart, she's gonna go, and oh, that was amazing. I don't see it coming.
That's a great fantasy.
Yeah, that's I spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about that, actually.
Is that the happy place that you sometimes will retreat to?
Yeah.
Is that you were the beast master or whatever?
That and, like, catching people who are being cruel to an animal and exacting my revenge in the moment.
Just the exact fair revenge of doing what
like,
they have been doing.
Do you want to see what that would feel like? Let me just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some kind of a, like, yeah, animal justice vigilante.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Like Catwoman, but sort of.
Basically Catwoman.
Except as we've identified without the outfits.
Yes.
Yeah. Gauzy or tight-fitted, either way.
And if somebody called you by your secret name, people would not be like, oh, you're a Catwoman? They'd be like, yeah, Morgan's a Catwoman.
Yeah, see? She'd be like, she's
usually
super,
call her
she's
cat
really
lady,
weird with
but Catwoman, sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a perfect incognito. Yeah.
Catwoman, crazy cat lady. Same.
It's just it's a different mantle for a different time of day, I suppose.
There you go. Oh, man. Yeah. That's a really nice fantasy.
It's beautiful. Do you have any fantasies like that?
I can't even think. I've grown like away from sort of like animal obsession, like being super into like cats or dogs or horses and stuff. Just like as a grown up, I now have a lot of allergies, and so I don't have pets and like
you like human babies.
I like human babies. Yeah, I like huffing those things like nonstop.
Right,
but. Yeah, nothing really with animals anymore. I really loved horses, though, when I was a kid. And so, like, really wanted to do the whole, like, you know, you read the thoroughbred books.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, and they would race along the beach together. You could definitely, there's some communication between horse and human. And, like, there is.
There really is.
You know, like, a real cool, like, synchronicity, symbiosis.
Symbiosis.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I read The Horse Whisperer, you know, where it's, like, the, any kind of, like, flight animal that gets really skittish and startled easily. It's definitely my goal to, like, be calm around them so they don't run away.
It's like me and Bunbury today.
Yeah, I know, totally. Bunbury normally freaks out when he meets new people and just like barks and growls and goes after them and then calms down and is fine and then loves them. But he didn't do anything today. Yeah.
I was I could see my golden, beautiful heart just shimmering. It was. He was like, this is fine. This is cool. He came and just laid his bulk against my legs, which is a thing I love when dogs do.
Aww.
I like when dogs lean against me. He's bulky.
Yeah.
I actually, had to pick him up to, oh, you have to go pee! And, put him down on the grass.
I will walk you down the stairs.
He's just got, the stiffest little legs sticking out. You're picking him up. He's just a little
piglet. He can't jump up on the bed because he's too... Stout. He can sometimes. Sometimes we'll come in and he's on the bed. And I'm like,
how to do that?
You know what? Because otherwise he just sits there
He's sort of a big potato.
Until you come and you have to lift him up. I have, put my back out so many times lifting that giant dog.
He's not a small duck. He's a big boy.
He's a small dog, but he's a solid. He's got the Brayton family shape. He's he's a girthy little guy.
He's got a strong root vegetable vibe going on.
Yeah.
Good company.
Oh, man.
Been on a horse. Mm-hmm. Once, several times, when I was on Neon Rider, back in the day.
That's, wow, great.
Yeah, and so you had to, there was all, all of us who were, teens, 20s, kind of, worked a lot in Vancouver on Neon Rider, then Jump Street and those kinds of shows with the young characters, but if you were a teen at the ranch on Neon Rider, you had to ride horses, and so... I don't remember them asking if we could ride horses. And then they're just like, you'll be riding a horse. And I was like, certainly. Because you didn't want to, talk yourself out of a gig.
Yeah.
But one time when I was on it, it wasn't my horse, but they had a race between Ben Johnson and a guy on a horse. Ben Johnson, the disgraced Canadian sprinter.
Oh, my God.
And I actually found it for some reason not too long ago. I looked up on YouTube the scene, and it is just the weird, who thought that? They're like, let's write an episode. You know who we'll get. Ben Johnson. And he'll race a horse on foot. He wasn't, did I make that clear? He was not. Yeah, Ben Johnson was running.
Yeah. It'd be super funny if they just had him on a horse.
On a horse. They'd be like, he's so fast.
Then he'll make the horse faster by proxy.
Exactly.
Even though a horse is much faster than Ben Johnson.
Well, but what was the conclusion of this race? Was a horse and rider much faster than Ben Johnson on foot?
I'm trying to remember now what... I don't remember who won.
I feel like a horse can go... a horse has more endurance. Ben Johnson's a sprinter.
Yeah.
Come on. A horse can do 35 kilometers an hour, but a long time.
Horse wasn't hepped up on goofballs
Plus, horses are terrifying.
Yeah. I remember being really scared, and because of my fantasies about communing with animals, mm-hmm. that I was like, I will just talk
this
to
will
the
work
horse.
Somehow.
And I remember a horse looking at me like... Fuck off.
Yeah.
You are not. I don't know what kind of Dr. Doolittle shit you've been reading, but I'm in charge here. Yeah. that horse didn't want. I mean, I guess in a sense, I did communicate with the horse without words. But
didn't get the message
not
you wanted.
Quite what I had fantasized about.
Yes. Oh my
it
God.
It read you pretty clearly.
Yeah.
A horse, that is the thing I don't like about horses, going I know who's the boss here.
Oh,
that is horses.
Do they ever?
For sure. Yeah.
And they were like, you have to kick it, and they have to, because you, use your heels to
get it going.
I have no
authority with a horse.
I don't know why I'm, you know how you have to kick a horse.
I do.
And they can't, it's like a little flick to them.
Yeah.
And we didn't have spurs on or anything
like
that. But I felt bad. I was like, I didn't want to kick the horse. And so my horse wasn't moving, shooting.
I rode English saddle, so you don't kick the horse. You squeeze your powerful thigh in one way or another.
Oh, see?
Yeah,
somebody should have told me
that.
That
you can do the kicking because the saddle is bigger and you don't have... takes up too much space on your thighs.
Oh.
So they can't feel you, but if you have the smaller English saddle, you just press right in there.
Yeah, you do.
You can really feel that horse, let me tell you.
What's it
going
to take
girls?
To get this horse between your legs?
Wow.
I'm definitely one of those 11-year-old girls that rode horses for fun.
A real Tina Belcher.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. You got me really... so I'm reading, on my 87th read-through of The Mammoth Hunters right now, Earth's Children series by Jean M. Owl.
Oh, okay.
The Clan of the Cave Bear.
Clan of the Cave Bear, I remember.
AKA the Caveman sex books.
Okay.
They're full of pornographic sex scenes.
And I think the Clan of the Cave Bear movie was filmed in Vancouver.
Yes, I believe so, with Daryl Hannah and a bunch of people who were unrecognizable because they were wearing Neanderthal makeup. Yeah. We never would have known.
Right.
But it looked pretty bad. No, I think it was filmed in Alberta, actually. Maybe both.
I don't know why my brain was like, oh, just piped up with
that. You're probably right.
Everything is filmed in Vancouver, so it's a pretty safe
bet. But this was, you know, I think this was even before I moved to Vancouver, so I don't know. It's probably not relevant, but we should get to the bottom of it.
Well, let's get to the bottom of it. Yeah. So, okay. But you got me thinking about, you know, Ayla and her special relationship with Winnie the horse because of how she moves her powerful thighs. So you're making me think of, I love reading it because it also made me think of your, like, animal healing fantasy because she's a healer and she's a caller and she's all of these different, she's like the Mary Sue of prehistoric times, right? Like she can do everything. She invented horses. Oh. She was the first to catch one. She invented dogs too because she caught a wolf and trained it. Yeah. Yeah. So Ayla's kind of got it going on. She can do anything.
But yeah, she can like mimic any like animal sounds because she lived alone in the woods for so long she like picked up. So she can make every bird call and like every like horse noise to like communicate different things with her horse. Like.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the fantasy. That's... Like, if you want to go live out in the woods for a really long time, you might develop those powers.
I do not, but it does explain why my son does such a convincing dog bark. Before we got Bunbury, the number of times in a day that I had to say, no barking in the house when we didn't have a dog was ridiculous. It's uncanny. Like, it makes other dogs bark and stuff because it's... the first time it happened, I was like, how is there a dog in our... Oh, my God, that's the child. Yeah, no, he is really good at dog barking.
He's really good. Why did he... Why? Just likes to make a noise.
Maybe he
left to his own devices with dogs for too long in a foster home, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to bring the room down a bit there, guys. Let's focus on his skills, his talents of dog barking.
Excellent.
That sounds very impressive.
Just, like, going back to, like, I think animals are such a good barometer of, like, humans and their intentions. Do you know what I mean? Like, one of the things that I love... It's like when you're sitting quietly in a park and then like the ducks feel like they can safely approach you and you're just like, oh, they know that I'm one of the good ones.
Yes.
You know, I just feel really validated. And like if a dog or a cat comes up to you right away, it's just like, oh, yeah, they know that I'm good people. Like, I think that's really excellent. It's, like, and if they shy away from someone, it's like, oh, they're a bad person. Probably I should stay away from that guy.
It's very, very gratifying when somebody says like, oh, you know, my like with my birds, like, you know, they don't normally like people right off the bat. I'm like, it's well, because I don't really care. Like if they don't like me, it's fine. I don't get down like, oh, my God, are you going to love me?
Right.
So I think that they're like,
she's chill.
They can tell. They can tell.
You're not thirsty for pets.
I totally am, but I tell myself I'm not, so I put out that vibe.
Yeah.
That cool
you're hard to
vibe.
Get.
Now, you're right. It was filmed in BC, but not in Vancouver.
Okay.
It was filmed in the Okanagan
makes sense.
And at McMillan Park, Provincial Park.
Thank you for looking that up.
Yes, I was very curious. I remember seeing the... You know, the deciduous forests live. I don't know.
Well, it probably was, like, actors from Vancouver that were... That's probably why my brain was saying that, so,
most likely, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was not a good movie. The book... I don't even know if the book's good, honestly, but I can't stop reading it. I've read it, like,
it
easily 7 or 8 times at this point.
It's just like, you know, you like reading Clan of the Cave Bear and looking at pigeons. You're a simple woman with simple tastes.
I'm a very simple woman with very simple tastes. I just love survival stories. We've gone over this on the podcast before because we've had a book club episode where we're like, I like, if anything, it was like somebody surviving in the woods. That's my shit, which is weird because I hate camping.
Oh, I hate camping so much.
Camping soups.
That's really interesting. That just, even just you saying the, like, plot of that just made me feel anxious. I do not like books that involve people having to survive in the woods at all.
If I know they're going to make it, I like it. But maybe not so much in the other way. But
no,
like,
I don't.
People surviving shipwrecks and stuff and like figuring out how to make fire and stuff. I love that shit.
Really?
I don't know why.
But what about like animals surviving? Like on
sure.
their own or whatever. Really?
Sure.
Oh, I don't. And I can't watch any movies
what, like,
with
Homeward
animals
Bound?
In them. Like anything. Anything. And my poor son, he's always like, no, Mom, this one, nothing bad happens. They just
seriously?
Have adventures together. And
there's
I'm like,
a website
nope, can't do it.
Called Does the Dog Die?
Yes, I am
you've,
familiar.
You're, yeah, you've got it bookmarked. It's your number one bookmark.
But even, like, things that people, movies with animals, I'm sounding like such an absolute case on your podcast
This is the place
here.
To sound like an absolute case.
Oh,
it's, we like to find, like, what is the thing that really...
What's your vulnerability? And let's expose it to everyone.
Oh, it's a long list, bitches.
Long.
But it starts with
That's
animals.
That's the title.
Yeah. It's not just animals, animals dying or, you know, the parent of the animal died and then it had to be brave.
Right.
Like, those things I can't even, like, that just made my heart
speed up. Like,
Finding
Nemo doesn't work for you?
Oh, God, no. No, none of that. But even just, like, any kind of, even like those movies like Air Bud and things like that, like it's too stressful because there's always some kind of animal in peril. It might just be like basketball related.
The big but, game.
Yeah. It just because I
what
feel,
if he takes a shit on the floor? He'll be the laughing stock.
See?
His self-esteem will be so crushed if he doesn't make that basket.
How does he even hold the ball? He has no thumbs.
I know it's ridiculous. I am
I think
well
it's
aware.
Very sweet. I think it's very sweet.
I can watch,
fun.
You know, movies with humans being beaten and shot.
Did you
and
see Winter's
gored.
Bone?
Does it like yeah? Does it?
Yeah,
I can't.
That was
I can't,
fine.
No.
No problem, but animals. Yeah, no, that's yeah. respectable.
No, there was animal stuff in that movie. I
oh, yeah.
that. Yeah.
I don't remember that. I just remember the hands thing. That creeped me out so yeah. bad. But so the end of Homeward Bound, where all the animals, like, made it, basically he was like, Shadow, he was just too old. He couldn't make it. And then the dog comes over there
oh,
and he's,
yeah.
like, loping towards him. And
oh,
I'm crying thinking about it. But there was, like, an animated gif of it.
Too many is for a bit.
Yeah. There was an animated GIF of it on Tumblr. I just saw the GIF. Like, I was like, don't read it. And I just saw, like, the dog, and I was like,
no!
Yeah.
No, can't deal.
I can't. I'm so sensitive. Fucking Land Before Time gets me, too. Mm. Just can't handle.
I had an anxiety attack as a kid in the movie theater watching Cinderella, just because, like, of the, I don't know, it was, like, dancing mice or something,
guess,
and
guess,
I just got,
mouse.
Yeah, it must have been, and I got all panicky, and I kept, like, getting up and going to the washroom and, like, breathing and thinking I was going to throw up, and I kept, and then I come back, and I did it, like, 3 times, and finally this woman was like, go the other way. And I was so freaked out that I just sat down and then I just like didn't watch the rest of the movie, just looked at my feet and did breathing exercises.
Oh,
until,
my God.
Yeah, it was really stressful.
You're a sensitive soul.
I'm ridiculous. We were having this conversation earlier about what a bitch I am, and now you're like, wait a minute, this is not the story I heard earlier.
You're a person that contains multitudes. Like,
animal
like
related,
us
sensitive,
yes.
human related.
Can
bitch.
Go fuck themselves,
yeah.
basically.
Exactly.
What if they were humans that were made into animals by some kind of witch's curse?
Okay, so that is what I think happened to one of my cats. Our cat Lucy, who passed away a couple of years ago, I am convinced that she was a little girl and a witch turned her into a cat. And I would always say that to my wife, and she would just roll her eyes and be like, oh, dear God.
Please explain.
But I'm like, no, I don't have any, like, I don't know the backstory. I just am convinced that she would look at me and I would be like, you are you're a little girl trapped in a cat's body. I don't know why I know that, but I do. Yeah. Okay,
that's
we gotta just stop
story?
Right now.
No!
We get, no! That no, is the whole story. Just that I would say, like, I'm really sorry that witch turned you into a cat, but it's a pretty good life, and I'll take care of you. I sound like a crazy
that's so kind.
Person.
I think you're just seeing my face look like...
Delighted.
I'm very delighted. This is wonderful.
No, like, it just, I don't know, just
stuff.
Her eyes, like, I just felt like they were the eyes of a little girl, not of a cat.
Well, your beautiful bitey cat today was looking at me with his icy, icy blue green eyes,
yeah.
and or blue gray, I guess, and I was just like, that's a look that isn't just a cat's look.
No.
Like, there's something behind there.
Mm-hmm.
There's the wheels are turning.
Yeah, he was not a human.
He's like, how can
he
I get your
full-on
hand
cat,
in my mouth again?
He was
yeah.
like a full-on
so
jungle cat,
flesh.
And then
yeah, he thinks he's a dog though. Partly, he's very
he
dog-like.
He's a guard dog.
Yeah, and he's very, yeah, no, he's a jackass.
What's that cat's name?
Billy P. Brayton.
What are all your other cats' names? I'm so curious. Well, we know
okay.
Sir Bunbury, Esquire.
Yes, Lord Bunbury of Little Mountain. Billy P. Brayton. Izzy, her full name is Isadora Crazy Pants, or Izzy the Razor. Spiker. And my old lady cat, who is 19,
wow. doodle
is Kismet.
You take so good, such good care of your animals.
Yeah,
so
I do.
Brings a special animal meat home for them to eat.
I do. And then the black one that you met, the friendly one, he is Freddie Mercury Retrograde.
Oh my God! There's another potential title right there. I really like that.
I mean, he just hit all of Katie's sweet spots. Right? Queen and astrology.
Queen and astrology.
Yeah.
I'm into it. That's beautiful. It was a very handsome cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely has that, like, bisexual rock star energy.
Totally. And he's very, we call him the Vokra ambassador because he was, except for my old lady cat, all of our cats are Vokra rescue cats, and we foster cats, so we usually have kittens or other cats in our kitten room at our house. And he's always, as soon as we bring any new fosters in, he's like scratching at the door. He's like, let me in there. And he goes and he grooms them and takes care of them and, you know, he eats their food, to be fair. But he's very much like, yeah, and hey, I've been where you are. It's going to be okay. Let me talk you through this.
It's like the Maitre D' or something.
No, he is. He's very like, yeah, he's like the, he's like the ambassador. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I got all his pictures of him like curled up with kittens and they love him. They follow him around everywhere. They're like, so soft and glossy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the raw meat.
Yeah. Well, they have beautiful fear. Fear. I believe it is called fear.
Beautiful fear.
I am suddenly also very Swedish. Usually only a little bit.
Yeah. You regress right back to your roots. Right down.
Absolutely. Just lingonberries falling off of me.
Just
the jangling of Allen keys falling from my pockets. I'm only a quarter Swedish, but my last name is so Swedish. So
It really is.
I just like animals being friends is really the sweetest.
Yes. Thing. Yes.
Or like the unusual animal pairings where it's like these two shouldn't necessarily be friends, but they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up on a farm, so we had a lot of like. There were some animals that were not friendly to each other,
right.
But there were some that really were. So there was a bunny that gave birth under our shed. It was like a neighbor bunny, and we had these like wild bunnies that were like all in our yard. And so then I guess one of them was the mate of this bunny that was a neighbor bunny. And so then we had all these little baby bunnies, and they were like the size of like the palm of your hand, basically, with like a little ear that stuck up. They were so cute, little buns. And our dog found them and like... kind of went in there and like brought them out so that we could like take care of them.
Aww, good
and
dog.
Then the dog like cuddled the bunnies for a little while.
I love that.
So that's beautiful. Yeah. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And then such a sucker.
Our donkey you really liked.
Wait, your donkey?
Wait, where is this going?
We had the donkey for a short while, but the donkey and the ducks really got along quite well too, which was pretty cute.
Did the ducks ever ride on the donkey's back?
No, I wish.
That would be adorable.
Disappointed.
We couldn't get anything to ride on the donkey's back. The donkey was a vindictive son of a bitch. that, like, my stepdad would, like, he got up on, like, a thing to, like, sit on top of the donkey's back, and as he was leaning his leg over, the donkey just stepped over just a little, so he fell down really hard.
Oh, he's like the Billy P of the donkey world. our stage manager, tech lady for the lady show, Heather Johnson, her cat's name is Tiny Dancer Rebel Girl.
Wow. That's, like, almost like a thoroughbred horse or
right?
something like
yes.
that.
Yeah.
I would put my money on that horse.
Totally.
I think you should always give pets weird names.
Yeah.
I think it makes the most sense. Although mine are pretty normally named. Mine are all named after like goddesses.
Right.
And characters of mythology. So well, Sappho
sometimes
the snake
they just
and,
tell you what their names are.
Yeah, I really like it. Instantly felt like Freya and Minerva were my little ratties.
Yeah.
So they're good. And Freya's very intrepid and Minerva's very with like quiet and more intellectual. She's not smarter, but she is more. She is much more withholding of her affection. So when she gives them to you, you feel very, very special.
Nice.
Whereas Freya just, like, wants to know what's up everywhere all the time, constantly. Like, what's this? What's over here? Do you have food? You definitely have food. Please give me some of your food. Please. You're eating bits and bites. That's my favorite kind of food. Please give me a pretzel rod. Please, 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 please. And then you give it to them, and then she hides it, and she comes back. It's like, I don't have anything. I really still, I need something. You said you would give me something.
So sneaky.
They're so sneaky, those
rats
little,
are so
little
sneaky.
Rats. Little rats. You're like,
yeah. I've been trying to do a very good job in not making fun of you and your rats, but you're really pushing it.
Well, I'm sorry, I lost my snake. I have nothing else to love.
That's true. I was really loving how you've, like, sublimated all your talk of pets into the snake and not so much the rats.
Yeah,
but...
well, then you take it up with Barry.
You know what? Maybe I fucking will.
You should.
You know, I've got your back.
And you know where I live, so you know where Barry lives.
Right?
Fucking Barry.
Going with
look for the house
bat.
With those spiders going under the door.
Oh, man. Almost done now.
We're out of time with just Morgan talking about how crazy she is around animal stuff.
No, that's perfect. That's that good stuff.
I know. You said that it was, like, out of vulnerabilities, you were like, oh, that's one of many.
Give us
that's
all
you're getting. That's all you're getting.
No, that's fine.
We have some kind of...
mystery.
Yeah.
I like it.
Not seem like I'm entirely a ball of neuroses. Because I'm not.
Well, you have to make us look at least normal by comparison, right?
Is,
we don't.
Oh, is that my job?
No, we're kooky bananas.
Come on our podcast and make us look better by being a total weirdo.
Just make us look like we're not alone, basically, because
you're
nuts.
Not. Well, and that's the thing. You know, the older I get, the more I'm like, you know, when I was younger, I thought, oh, other people know how to be an adult, and other people have this stuff figured out, and other people, you know, feel good about themselves. No, it's not true.
Nope.
No, the older I get, the more I'm like, we're all just trying our best.
Mm-hmm. We're all kind of faking it and doing it right, sort of in equal measures.
Yeah.
I find, like, we all have some skills.
Totally. Well,
and fill in the rest.
The flip side of that is true as well, is that the older I get, the more aware of my skills and abilities I am, mm-hmm, right?
Sure.
The more I'm like, yeah, I've been doing this for a while. I'm good at this. Yeah. I know how to do this.
You have imposter syndrome until you realize, like, I've answered that question and it was correct, and I actually really know what I'm doing. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
How strange.
Yeah, I'm still not at a point where I know how to take it seriously if someone thinks I'm an expert on anything. Mm. Not even an expert, just competent. I'm just
right.
like, what, me? I don't know, man. I'm not even sure if people would trust me to, like, babysit their children or, I don't know.
It's pretty tall order to babysit people's children,
Actually, a lot of people have asked me to do it, and I just keep saying no because I don't want to.
Like, I mean, that's probably why.
I'll babysit yours and only yours. No one else's kids. Unless it's an emergency. I'll look after anyone's pets, though. That's true.
I relate.
Yeah.
Should we take a little break? Because it's getting really hot in here.
Sure.
We're back.
So instead of, like, we could digress around, like, all of the ways that we're tenderhearted for a very long time, but another sort of thread that we often pull on this podcast, which we haven't returned to a lot, is, like, sort of all the creativity and, like, the creative output that we do and, like, the behind-the-scenes work that goes into that kind of... to make that visible sometimes. So,
nice.
Like, you host a lot of awesome shows and, like, run a lot of awesome shows. And I'm sure that, like, you know, people are like, oh, it's such a cool thing and it's really fun, but, like, there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, definitely.
And can you tell us a little bit about The Lady Show and how that sort of came to be and...
Yeah. So we've been doing The Lady Show for about a year and a half now, I guess.
So it's a success.
Yeah, see, right? It's more than a year. Boom. And I'm really excited about right now. We've just, you know, we've had, as groups do, some group dynamic stuff and sort of assessed in the last few months, like, where we're all at and who wants to be doing what and et cetera. And so a couple of the, Robin and Erica, previous members of The Lady Show, decided to move on and do other things. And so we've sort of restructured how we're doing things. And so along with Katie Ellen Humphreys, I'm producing The Lady Show, and we've just moved to the review stage on Granville Island.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's
which is
nice
really
venue.
Exciting. We did our first show there last month, we did a big International Women's Day show on March 8th, and it's great. I mean, it's such a great space that right now is actually accessible for people to rent, et cetera, because it's not in Granville Island's hands anymore, the Arts Club hands, and you can't afford to rent it, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Redgate is run by Redgate Art Society, who do a lot of kind of, you know, grassroots sort of stuff, and so they are keeping things affordable, which is amazing, and so yeah, it feels like we have a really great new home and a place to kind of grow and build it, and so yeah, just sort of, I'm really excited about the things that we're doing differently and how that show is going to grow. I'm really proud of it. It's a it's sort of a variety show because it's all different kinds of comedy. There's stand-up and sketch and kind of whatever else we feel like doing.
Mm-hmm. I've been to one where, like, a guest read, like, a comedic monologue from a play.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of, you know, funny women that we know that we'd love to come and be part of our show. And, you know, the ultimate goal, my ultimate goal anyhow for the show is it's such a... You know, nobody comes to see it just to see me or just to see Fatima or whatever. You know, like, everybody comes, you might have a favorite or whatever, but it's the sum of its parts, as it were. You know, like, the show itself is really what people are coming back time and time again to see and what people love and the feminist element of it, but also the ridiculousness of it and our dance numbers and those kinds of things. And so, you know, I really want to, we've been doing it monthly and we've moved for right now to every 2 months, just
to
kind of make it more manageable
because
it's a huge amount of work. And especially with four of us, my ultimate goal.
And try to do something different every time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we do sometimes, you know, the International Women's Day show, we did sort of a best of. But normally, and that was one of the main impetuses for impetai, you know what I mean, for doing the show was, I don't do anything unless I have a deadline. So I really need, like, an ass-kicking to, like. Yeah. Yeah, no, you don't relate. So to have a show every month where I'm like, okay, it might suck, but I'm going to create a new character this month. And, you know, in the year and a half, I've created a bunch of new characters, some that didn't work and some that I really love and that I've, you know, taken elsewhere, and a few of them used for my one-person show that opened in September, which I'm going to the Edmonton Fringe in August with, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah, so, but it is, it's a huge amount of work, and people who don't organize events don't really understand how much work it is. And so I'm really hoping to grow the show so that it's kind of more a pool of performers, sort of in the way that theater sports, you go to see theater sports. You're not like, I'm going to go see these five people or whatever.
Right.
And you might have your favorites or their usual kind of cast members that the show a lot. But to sort of open it up a little bit, it's quite a ways down the road because we don't want to just be like, okay, we're going to add six more people to the lady show. but just, you know, over time, and just kind of letting it grow a bit and doing more stuff with other people, like, you know, writing a sketch that might have a couple of people that aren't normally in the show just come and jump in on that sketch and those kinds of things, and to sort of broaden our pool a little bit. So I'm really excited about it, but it's also a small enough number that we can, you know, go and do shows in other cities if we want to with that, like the four of us, and then go and have guests in that city. So, so yeah, exciting things ahead, looking for sponsorship and those kinds of things and all that behind the scenes stuff, because it is more expensive to do a show in a theater where you have to, you know, get event insurance and things like that that kill you. So it's definitely much more costly than it has been previously, but there's a really lovely kind of vibe that happens in a theater space that you don't get in, we've taken over a restaurant or a bar or whatever for the night. So, so yeah, and the lady show really is my heart. It's just the ability to create new characters, as well as Katie Ellen Humphreys and I do the lady news every show. And so it's our chance to kind of, you know, do our feminist take on the news, or just our goofball take on the news a lot of the time. So yeah, for me, it's creatively the most exciting thing I've done in a long time.
As an audience member that's gone to, like, your show in, like, various places, mostly Little Mountain Gallery, but, like, being in the audience of that show is really, really fun because it's participatory. There's a lot of back and forth. Like, there's often, like, audience participation games or something like that. So, as you were saying, it's not just going for certain people. It's like you're going even to be part of that audience is really fun. You're part of the show.
Definitely.
So I'm curious to see how it would feel in a theater space.
Yeah, it was definitely an adjustment. And I think
is it you're separated a little bit
more? Well, I think it was partly that. And also, we figured out about 50-50 of people who'd been to the show before and people who hadn't, which is not usual for us. Yeah. Usually, we have a lot more people that have seen the show a zillion times. And so it was an interesting sort of, like, when we came out and we were doing our stupid dance number, and we're like, oh, usually people are really hooting and hollering at this point. do they think we're seriously dancing? Oh, no, they've cottoned on. We're ridiculous. But it did take a while for the audience, the new folks, I think, to be like, oh, it's okay to, like, you know, cheer at stupid things that they just did.
Right.
So that's part of it. But also, our audience, I don't think I've done a comedy show before that has such a wide diversity of people in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've got, like, our older lesbian crowd, we've got, like, young hipsters, we've got, like, you know, dudes, we've got, like, there's just such a really wide range. I can't even, there's no demographic to the lady show.
There's a lot of guys there.
There's a lot of guys, yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, and there's no reason there shouldn't be, right? It's always that ridiculous thing, and we used to have that with, I used to be part of a sketch troupe called 30 Helens, and it would be like, oh.
Best name for a sketch troupe ever.
Thank you, thank you.
I agree.
Not always. No,
a sketch troupe, not agreeing. It's doubtful.
Don't have it anymore. but, you know, people would always be like, oh, yeah, like, a lot of men come to your shows. And it's like, it's a comedy show.
Yeah.
And even, you know, the lady show, it's called the lady show. That doesn't mean it's for ladies. And if you don't think that you should go because it's called the lady show, then, yeah, you really should go. You really should go because you really need some of the things we're saying, I guess. But
yeah. Masculinity so fragile.
Hashtag.
Your show was a gateway drug for me for a few different friends that are like, oh, I don't know about stand-up, and, like, it's mean, I get, you know, yelled at, or, like, I don't want to get made fun of, and it's just like, oh, come to this show, because you're gonna have fun, it's gonna be cash, it's gonna be, like, gonna be very inclusive, and, like, very fun.
So. Yeah, and I hate that as a performer. I hate when that is what people's idea of comedy is, because as far as I'm concerned, nothing could be farther from what the purpose of, for me, what the purpose of comedy is. It's so uniting. It's so like, guys, it's okay, we're all in this together. We're all going down, but we're in it together, right? And maybe we can kind of poke a bit at the powers that be with this and with that. So for me, there's nothing, that's the absolute opposite of what comedy is about, and I just hate when that's what people think. And I get where they get it from. Like, they're not wrong in a lot of cases. But, yeah, that's no, come to the lady show.
Yeah.
You'll be safe here.
That's great. And the most sort of sought-after hats in all the land.
Pretty badass hats, not gonna lie.
They're really good. I got one.
I might even consider wearing, like, a, what do they call them now? Snapbacks?
Yeah.
Since when? Isn't it a baseball cap?
It looks really cute on me. So really, like, it's like a perfect little, like, oh, I don't quite look gay enough. Bing. Oh, there we go. That's there doing it. Is. There it is. Just make sure I'm wearing a sleeveless shirt and just showing off the guns. But no, it's good. And I see like lots of men wearing it out out in public. Like it's almost like signaling in a way. Mm-hmm. I think they're like,
I'm one of the good ones.
I like women and I want to see what they're doing. Like I want to see the kind of work that they're doing, I hate to say it, but not like a super prevalent thing in the comedy community, depending on where you are and who you're talking to. Like if you go to an open mic, there's a lot of people, like we were talking about this in the car on the way over here, that there are people who can only do open mics because they're so nasty and hateful and not funny that
no one will actually book them.
No one will actually book them, but they haven't quite figured out yet that they need to change tracks. They're just like, I guess I just got to practice this more.
Right.
So they just keep doing the same thing over and
over.
But
then I always go like, what are those people watching? Right? Because if you're watching what is really at the forefront of comedy right now, it's not that. So what are you watching that is giving you the idea that that's what you should be doing? Mm-hmm.
Bill Burr's new special.
Oh, wow. Well, yes, enough said. Somebody bought 7 lady show hats to take to a wedding back east because all the bridesmaids wore them.
Oh my
God. In the wedding?
The best, yeah. I don't know if they were during the actual wedding.
Perhaps during the reception.
But, yeah, which I love. And they've, of course, never seen the show. They're, you know, from Ontario, but
$40 in your pocket, right? Yeah.
But also, they were like, yeah, this is the lady show, right?
What a delight.
I love that.
It's so good. It's a good-ass hat. And I mean, like, usually don't want to buy a t-shirt. So, like, the hat is like, it can just complement any outfit.
Yeah, when we started talking about it and you know, well, should we do shirts? Should we do this? Should we do that? And
right choice. Oh, absolutely.
I just think they're cool hats. Like, they just look good, even if you're not a fan of the lady show. They'll make you look cool.
Who could not be a fan of the lady show? I'll beat them up. I'll beat them up like we want to beat up animal abusers.
Yeah. We'll make pinatas out of them.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to make them voodoo doll pinatas, basically.
Filling up with vegan candy. And you said you had a one-woman show as well that you're doing?
I said one-person show.
I apologize.
No, I say one-woman. I'm not ashamed of my womanness.
Yeah.
I know, I always go back and forth on that because I still have to adjust to saying actor instead of actress because I don't mind saying actress.
I prefer actor over actor.
Yes.
High fives.
If I really lower my voice as well.
Do you have a name for that particular character? Dave Morgan?
So Bunbury, his name is from The Importance of Being Earnest. And my mom and I used to listen to an audio tape of the play over and over again when I was growing up. And Dame Edith Evans, who played Lady Bracknell, and that's her voice. And so I always have her in my, a handbag! To lose one parent seems unfortunate. To lose both parents seems like carelessness to me.
I could listen to an hour of you just doing that voice, quite honestly.
I think I might have to I hadn't thought of doing a character with that because it seems like somebody else's character, but no, I think, okay, there you go.
Hysterically funny. Well, you know, like Maria Bamford does her, like, she had a whole episode about how she has that character voice that she does. It's her, like, fancy, not even fancy, but just like yuppie dickhead voice.
Yeah.
And she called it, like, she had a name for it. Mm-hmm. It was like Barbara or something like that. And I can't remember who was playing the character, but it's like a relatively famous actor played a guy who was like really into her. It was like James Franco or someone like that, right? Who was just like, oh, I'm in love with this voice. And then she's talking to real voice and he's like, no, don't do that anymore. I love the idea of having a fancy version or like a fancy character that comes out sometimes. Like I like to do a posh voice too. It's not quite as good as as that, but right. I like that one yeah. very much. Mm-hmm.
I could see that fancy lady either hosting some kind of like a baking or cooking show of some kind. Like, right. I'll making Julie only Chow, aspics.
Like, welcome to the Great British Aspic Competition.
I love
does
it.
Your jelly wiggle?
That's what I love about sketch comedy, about creating characters as well. It's like that. That's all you need sometimes, right? I have this character, Roxanne, who is, it came from the outfit. When my mom passed away and we were cleaning out her house, I found this outfit that she had obviously purchased in the 80s when she worked at this high-end women's clothing store, and just was clearly like, well, I paid a lot of money for this, so I'm going to hold on to it. It's these, like, gold lamé, like, palazzo pants with a matching vest
outfit,
and
yeah.
this, like, brocade jacket that goes with it. And I was just like, what the hell is this?
It's like a Paula Poundstone party outfit.
Oh, my God. It's so glamorous. And I was like, it took me, like, almost a decade to figure out what to do. Because I'd just keep putting it away, and I'd look at it every once in a while, and I'd be like, who would wear that, right? Okay. And so, yeah, finally came up with the character. But sometimes that's all it takes, right? It's like a sentence, or my ex-comedy partner had a duo called the Crawford Twins for a while, Lauren Martin, who is probably having a baby right now as we speak.
Yes,
she was like, they induced her, and she's like still posting and
I
tweeting.
I hope that baby's out by now.
Oh, man.
She deserves a short labor.
Yeah,
she's a cool
chick.
Past guest Lauren Martin. She's one of our only twofers we've had, actually. She's been on twice.
Oh, nice.
Because we love her so much.
Yeah, she's great.
Love tarot cards.
But we had a character. Oh, that's, there you go. Yeah, yeah. She's into that.
She's
the astrology thing for
she's
sure.
She's a spooky girl.
We had a, I wrote a sketch for us called I Want a Baby that was just, ironically, right?
Too good of a sketch. It happened.
I know. That was just from this woman that I overheard talking about, you know, that how her friend came over and she just had this baby and she was really jealous. And she said, and I just kept thinking, I want a baby. And it just, like, that sentence stuck in my head and just ran around in there for days. And then I was like, oh, I don't know who it is, but I got to write this. And that's, you know, that you can find the sketch online on my YouTube. That's all it takes,
that's
right?
Cool.
It's just that little piece of something. And then you're like, okay, who is this? And why would they do that? And why would they be wearing that? Or why would they have that voice? Or where would they be that it wouldn't make sense for them to have that voice? Or, you know, whatever those things are that you come up with. And next thing you know, you got a super fun character to play. It's
that's
one of my favorite
fun.
Things about comedy.
I like that format because, like, with a sketch, too, you can just kind of keep it contained in, like,
yeah.
one little piece, too. You don't have to, like, and then I have to flesh out this whole character and their backstory for, like, a whole movie or, like,
absolutely.
A whole book or whatever. It's like, here's just a vignette and, like, a snapshot in this, like, very interesting person's life, and it's, like, kind of nice, and it's like, I'm not going to tell you everything about them. You
yeah.
just have to figure out, like, what the heck is going on with this person?
Like, I'm always wondering, how did the head crusher become the head crusher?
Right.
Right? Like, what's his story?
Yes.
We'll never know.
Well, and I have sort of a bit of a, what's the opposite of a silver lining? Like a rotten
lead
lining? Because I have a hard time doing recurring characters for that exact reason.
Okay.
That I find somebody that it's like this specific moment in this person's life that is such a crossroads or a precipice that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then people go, oh, I hope you'll do another like so-and-so monologue. And I'm like, they don't exist outside that moment in time for me, right?
Yeah.
So I have some characters that definitely, you know, I could write 1,700 monologues for that character, but I have a lot that are like,
just a one-off.
Just there. That's where they live in my head.
Just a momentary, beautiful
exactly.
thing.
I
yeah.
like it.
I like
it's
it too.
Ephemeral.
Ephemeral is the word I was looking for. Thank you so
yeah,
much for that.
So
that's
good,
what I love
guys.
About you. Beyond everything else. But I really, like,
it's
you're making
list.
Me want to do sketch, which is exciting.
Well,
it's something
come
I never
and
really
do
thought
a sketch
about.
With us in the ladies' show sometime.
Okay.
I'd love to have you.
Great.
Yeah.
I can do crazy voices too.
Yeah.
Well.
Stretch your writing muscles.
Yeah.
That's all.
I just love muscles of all kinds.
muscles.
Were you trying to wrap us up there, Katie?
I was.
She was trying. We weren't having it.
Is that Diana Ross? I Want Muscles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Right on.
Which is written about a snake. Just to bring everything full circle.
Well, that's
muscles
all we got.
Was Michael Jackson's snake.
Muscles and then bubbles?
Yeah.
Speaking of strange animal names. So we killed
it. Can we play ourselves out with Gowan's Strange Animal at this point? Because I really feel like that would be the perfect exit song.
Okay, thanks for giving me lots of homework that I have to edit in.
Better than I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal. Because that would be inappropriate. Excuse me, that song is called
Closer. It's an important part of the Nine Tails.
Sorry.
There's a character.
Wow.
It's a dickhead.
Totally is. Make a note.
A dickhead that works in a record shop.
You know it.
Okay, I think you found your next inspiration.
There you go.
Okay, Morgan, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have like a social media feed that you can plug and Instagram?
I do. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, just at Morgan Brayton. And Bunbury has his own Instagram.
Oh, nice.
This is Bunbury, Bunbury.
Oh, I know how to spell Bunbury.
And find The Lady Show on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as well. Excellent. And theladyshow.com.
We'll definitely be at the next one. I'm super excited.
Yay!
Okay, see you guys next week on the old Sea Hags podcast.